Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Dav Tzadik. Hey, we will begin Beis Hashem Yisbaruch and Dav Tzadik Dalar on the Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. As we have been discussing, the Torah is very specific about a halacha that we've learned so many times, that if blood from a karmel chatas splatters on a beged, the halacha is that that garment must be washed. But as we have been learning, it has to be washed, but Makom Kadosh has to be washed in the Azara. And therefore teaches us the Mishnah Beged, Shiyotzu Chutz L'Klaim, if there was a Beged that had blood from the Karmel Chatas splattered on it, and it was taken outside of the Azara, in order to wash it, Nichnas, it has to be taken back into the Azara, M'chapsoi, and the washing is done, as we just mentioned, B'makom Kadosh, net mechutz l'klaim. But now says the Mishnah, what happens if when it was outside of the Azara, it became Tameh? And now we have a problem, because the Halach is, of course, that we may not bring a beged that's Tameh into the Azara. So therefore teaches us, Kairoi, we have to rip up that beged, and therefore by ripping the beged, as we'll discuss, it won't be Tameh anymore. And after we do so, nichnas, we bring it into the Azara, umechapsoi b'makom kadosh, and we wash it there. The achronim ask, why don't we just say that we should put it into the mikvah outside of the Azara, and then bring it in, and it will be tar because we put it into the mikvah. So the Chazanish answers that when we put this beged into the mikveh, putting the beged into the mikveh is also considered an act of kibbutz. And if we're learning, as we're learning, that the kibbutz must be done with makom kadosh, yes, normally a beged that becomes tameh, you could be metarit by putting it into the mikveh. But here, we don't have the option of putting it into the mikveh outside of the azara, because if we're going to put it into the mikveh outside of the Azara, we're going to be washing it outside of the Azara, and the halacha is we're not allowed to wash it, as we've been learning over and over again, only inside the Azara. There's an interesting machloikis achroinim I saw. Our Gemara discusses where this beged, on which the Karmel Chatas blood was splattered, was taken out of the Azara, and now it's outside of the Azara and became Tameh. And now we have to decide, now the Halach has to decide what to do. And we're learning that we have to rip it because we don't really have any other option how to bring a Tameh Beged in the Azara. What will be the din, discussed the Achroinim, if the Beged became Tameh while we're still in the Azara? And of course we know the Halach is that a Beged that's Tameh, we may not allow to keep it in the Azara. What will be the halach over here? Will we say that we have to get it out of the Azara? And since we have to get it out of the Azara, that's what we have to do. And all the halachas that we're learning throughout the Mishnah will be applicable. Or do we say, since ultimately it has to be brought into the Azara for washing, so when does the halacha not allow us to bring a beged that's tummy into the Azara? If the beged is outside the Azara, so we can't bring, as we're learning, a beged that's tummy into the Azara. But a beged that is already tamei while it's in the Azara, this halacha would not apply. The Sfasemis doesn't differentiate. The Sfasemis says that even if we begat tamei out in the Azara, our immediate requirement is to get it out of the Azara, and then the procedure mentioned in the Mishnah will kick in, tear it, and then bring it in. The Oil Shlomo disagrees. The Oil Shlomo disagrees, and he says that if it became Tameh inside the Azara, the halacha is that we can leave it there and be matar and wash it as it is there, take it to the mikveh, etc. So the Chemdes Daniel explains, if that's the halacha, why doesn't the Mishnah teach us that example? So he goes to something we're going to learn in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that breaking Kli Cheres, as we're going to learn, is not an option in the Azara. And since if a Kli Cheres became Tameh in the Azara, the options that we're discussing would not be relevant. Since in those cases, the options we're talking about would not be relevant, so that's why the Mishnah wanted to speak about a case, simple case, where it became Tamei outside, it was outside the Azara, became Tamei outside the Azara, and the Mishnah is teaching us that rip it there and then bring it in. Continues the Mishnah, Kli Cheres. The halacha is that a Kli Cheres that absorbed the Chatas, and as we've been learning, and will actually be learning quite extensively, the halacha is that the Kli Cheres don't have a way to be kashered, and since there's no way of kashering Kli Cheres, the halacha teaches us that we have to just break them. So here again, the halacha is, if a Kli Cheres is outside of the Azara and it requires to be broken because it has the bli of a Karmel Chatas, nichnas, the halacha is that we bring it in, v'shoivrei makom kadosh, the halacha is we bring it in and break it makom kadosh. However, nit mechutz l'kumayim, if it became Tamei outside of the Azara, and as we're learning now that it became outside of the Azara, there is no way of bringing it into the Azara, noikvai, so we have to make a hole. And the halacha is that by making a hole into a Kli Cheres, different size of holes, there could be a hole that is big enough that no liquid, if it's a clay that's meant for liquid, it's so big that you can't put liquid into the that you have a hole that if you put the liquid in it, it'll leak out. And if it's meant to hold things, it'll be such a big hole that things will fall out. So what you'll do is, noikvai, make a hole outside the Azara. By making the hole outside the Azara, it's no longer a keli. And then, niknas, so you're not since it's no longer a keli, you no longer have a problem of bringing a keli tamei into the Azara. And then, shayver b'makom kadosh, and then you could bring it, into the Makom Kadosh. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Vayta, clean the Chayshis, if you have a keli made out of copper, shiyotza chutz l'kloim, and again, this is a keli that was used to cook chattas in it, and therefore, as we learned and we'll continue learning, marika and shtifa are required, and it was taken, shiyotza chutz l'kloim, it was taken outside the kloim. The halacha is, nechnas, you bring it in, and you do the marika and the shtifa, which is the rinsing and the kashering, the makom kadosh in the azara. Nit mechutz l'klayim, but if when it was outside the klayim, it became tamei. So the halacha is paichsoi. You should make a hole in it, and by making a hole in it, then it becomes non-usable as a keli. And then nechnas, then you bring it in umark v'shayk v'makom kadosh. You then could do it in the makom Kaddish. The Tveris Yisrael explains again, why isn't it just taken to the mikveh outside of the Azara? So explains the Tveris Yisrael that whenever you take something to the mikveh, the first thing you have to do is clean it to make sure there's no chatzitza on it. And by cleaning it in a way to make sure there's no chatzitza, it's certainly in the category of marika v'shtifa. Since at that point it falls into the category of marika v'shtifa, so there's no way to do tefillah outside because the tefillah will actually end up being an act. The tefillah will end up being an act of marika v'shtifa, and we'll keep on learning that the marika v'shtifa actually has to take place in the Azara, so there is no other option other than noikvai, making a hole in it, breaking it, and by that it loses its status of tumah. And once it loses the status of tumah, then the halacha is the halacha will be that you could then bring it into the Azara. Another explanation, he says, is speaking about a pot that was used to cook in it, carbon shlomim. The halacha is carbon shlomim eaten for 2 days and one night. And if you used it for cooking on the second day of a carbon shlomim, and it became tamei, so now even if I'll take it to the mikveh, it won't be tar yet, because we know whenever we take something to the mikveh, it has to have hair of shemesh. And therefore, we'll have to wait for the night. it will have to wait for the night. It'll already be nicer. And the halacha is, we don't want to cause anything to become nicer. So the Mishnah asked the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah that a beged on which dam chattis was splattered and it was taken out of the klai, out of the azara and became tamei. The halacha teaches us that you should rip it up before you take it back into the azara, and then you do the kibbutz in the azara. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Ravina, how can we say that you should rip it? Ask the Gemara, Beged Amar Rachmana, the Torah says that it has to be a beged when you're doing the kibbutz, because the Torah says, Vashiyaz medama ala beged ashiyiza ala techabas v'makim kodesh, and this beged that you ripped, la beged hu, it's no longer a beged, so you violated what the Torah wants us to do with this beged. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah beked ma'aferes. What the Mishnah is suggesting is that we leave on it the shear of a kerchief, and you rip it. And this is the way I sort of was showing him explain the Gemara. On one hand, you're ripping it to a degree that it will be considered a rip beged, that it's not subject to the halachas, that it's no longer tamei. But on the other hand, it's not ripped to the degree that it's not ripped to the degree that it's considered a. It's not considered a beged anymore. In other words, what the Gemara is actually teaching us here is there are different shiurim, what is considered a beged as far as Hilchus Kibbutz is concerned, and what is considered a rip beged as far as Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara are concerned. And the Gemara is suggesting, as far as Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara are concerned, this type of rip is enough to make it that it's no longer a beged, that it's no longer Tameh. But it's still going to be considered a beged as far as Hilchus Kibbutz is concerned. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that the way we could explain our Mishnah of Amar Rav Huna, Loi Shanu, the halacha that a beged gets ripped is Elish Loi Shaya by Kedem HaFaris, that you didn't leave over the mouth of a kerchief. Aval Im Shaya by Kedem HaFaris, if you left enough of that beged, the size of a kerchief, Chibahu, it's considered still a beged as far as Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara. So how could the Mishnah give this suggestion? Answers the Gemara Midrabanahu. When this halacha was stated, that if it's left the size of a kerchief, even though it's been very ripped, it's still Tameh, that's only Midrabanan. Midraisa, if most of the beged was ripped, then the beged is Tahar. So yes, under normal circumstances, the halacha is concerned for the Rabbanon, and says that you have to rip it in a very significant manner. And if you don't rip it in that significant manner, it will still be Tamei. But here, because we have this dilemma, on one hand, we want to be able to bring it into the base, into the Azara to do the kibbutz that the Torah so requires. On the other hand, we need to rip it because it's Tamei. Here we rely on the Din Torah. And as far as the Din Midaraisa is concerned, once you ripped it significantly, it's not Tameh anymore. But it is still a beged as far as Hilchus Kibbutz is concerned. We learned in the Mishnah, Kli Cheresh Yotza, if a Kli Cheresh was taken out of the Kalayim and it became Tameh, Noikvoi, and we make a hole in it, and then we bring it into the Azara, and after we bring it into the Azara, then the halacha is we break it in the Azara. Ask the Gemara, but the Torah says, when it speaks about the Kli Cheresh that was used to cook kachim in it, the Torah says it still has to be a Kli. Kli Amar Rachmana. The Pasuk says, for Kli Cheresh ashtavo shebo yishava. So it has to still be a Kli. And if you're making a hole in it, lav Klihu, it's no longer a Kli. Answers the Gemara, as we mentioned in the Mishnah. Nikei b'shir shasharish katan. The hole that you made is a small hole. And that small hole, as far as Hilchus Tumah V'Tahara is concerned, it's no longer considered a Kli. But as far as Hilchus Keli is concerned, for Shoivroi, that you have to bring it in when it's whole, it's still considered whole. We learned similarly, if a Kli Nechoshes was taken out of the Azara, where Marika V'Shtifa are required, and if there's Marika Vishtifa required in the Azara, but we can't bring it in because it's Tamei. So it teaches us the Mishnah Paichasai, we make a hole in it, and then we do Marika Vishtifa in the Azara. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that? Again, ask the Gemara, Kli Amar Rachmana. The Torah says that when we do Marika Vishtifa, it has to be in the status of a Keli. And this is not a Keli anymore. For Alav Klihu, once you make this hole, answers the Gemara, the Rots of Marzif. First, you break it. By breaking it, it's no longer a Keli. And then afterwards, you solder it, weld it together, and therefore it's a Keli, and now you're bringing in a Keli that's tar, because when you broke it, it was not Tamei. And as I saw the Rishonim point out, something that we spoke about in a previous year, and that is that even though to make something Tamei, or you have to make it a Keli, Machshava is enough, here a Machshava would be inadequate. In order to make it that it's not a Keli Tamei anymore, an act of breaking it is required. Continues the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Mil. The mil that the Kohen Gadol wore, that on it spritzed chatas blood, and it was taken outside the Azara, and then Nitma became Tamei outside the Azara. There the halacha is we can't rip it. Machnisai, we bring in the pot that got stained. That part gets brought into the Azara, the pachas pachas mishalish, less than 3 etzba at a time. Therefore, and that little spat that's less than 3 etzba, and less than 3 etzba, we do kibas on. And then if the area of the space of the stain is larger than 3 etzba by 3 etzba, so that part has to also now be washed. So then we bring in the next part. And we don't ever bring in more than 3 etzba at a time. And since we never brought more than 3 etzba into the time, less more than 3 etzba at a time, it means we never brought a beggar tamei into the Azara. The option that the Mishnah keeps on mentioning, rip it and then bring it in that way, is not available here, says the Gemara, because the Torah says lo yikareya. The Torah says that the halacha is we're not allowed to rip the beged, specifically the mil, and therefore this is the only option. And the way all the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, the reason the Gemara didn't give this option, the Mishnah and the Gemara did not give this option previously, because this is not really a great option. And therefore, since it's not a great option, of bringing it less than 3 etzba at a time, there's a concern you're going to end up bringing more than that. So of course we don't want to do this. Only in this situation where we don't have an option, because the Torah also says lo yikareya, we may not rip it. That's why this is the only option available of bringing it in less than 3 etzba at a time. Ask the Gemara, Moser Rav Adi Bar Hava asks on this halacha, says the Gemara, the halacha is the Mishnah Masechta Kelim. Perek Chof Ches, Mishnah Ches, teaches us ha'avin, a garment that's very thick, varakin, or a very flimsy garment. Ein bem shim shalosh and shalosh. Then I'm a kabbal tuma. There's no halacha of shalosh al shalosh. So therefore, the halacha is that even if it's larger than shalosh al shalosh, I saw if it's up to 3 tefachim, the halacha is that it's not tamei. So here, the mil was made out of all these threads. So why are we limiting ourselves to shalosh as boss? Answers the Gemara, agav avich shivi. This beged is part of a big beged, part of the mil. And therefore, even though you're taking in a space, an area that's larger, that's smaller than 3 tefachim, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's part of a big beged, it has that chashivas, even though it's this type of material. But, point out the achroinim. Even though we're saying that since it's part of the me'il, it gives it a chashivas, it makes it important, that's only when you have a larger piece of material. But when you have a material that's so small that it's only 3 etzbas, the fact that it's part of a me'il is immaterial. That is not going to be makabel tumah when it's so very small. It's only three etzbos. But we keep on learning in our Mishnah that the place to do kibbutz is in the Azara. Ask the Gemara for boy shivas of amonim. The Gemara in Masechta Nida, Daf Samach Aleph, discusses very, very extensively, if you have a garment that has a red color on it, and we have to determine, is it from a dam nida? And if it's from a dam nida, then the halacha is, it's tamei with all the halachas of tamei and tahara, or is it just something that was dyed red? So the Gemara over there says that the way to do this is try to remove the stain with a whole series of different detergents, and if they come up, then the halacha is that it's a proof that it's blood. If it doesn't come off, then the halacha is that it's clearly dye and not blood. Ask the Gemara. So we see from here, the way a blood stain is removed is with these seven detergents. And ask the Gemara, Dama Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bavua, Dam Chattis, when we have the blood of the Kamer Chattis, which we have been discussing, or the Maris Nagoyim, or again, whenever we have blood from whatever situation that we have blood, Tzrichim Shivas Amamonim, we have to use these seven detergents. The Tanya, but the Brisa teaches us that one of the detergents is Meiriglaim urine, and we learned that the halacha is Hashem Machnisim Meiriglaim LaMikdash Menei Kovid. The Brisa teaches us regarding Ketoris that Meiriglaim would be a great ingredient to put into the Ketoris, but the halacha is Hashem Machnisim Meiriglaim LaMikdash. We never bring Meiriglaim into the base of English when they are covered. So how is this an option? The Chitema, if we'll say the way we do it, is the ma'avalei b'had the shivus amanim ma'avalei kol echad, that the way we apply these seven detergents is we mix them all together, and therefore we don't have meiriglayim by itself. Says the Gemara, but now the Mishnah Masechta Nedida tells us havim shleik kesidron. Not only must you apply each detergent separately, but you have to apply them specifically in the order that I mentioned here. Oy shehev shavasan ke'echad. If you just mix them all together, loyasan loyklum. So giving us advice to mix them together is not going to work. V'chi teima. And if you'll say the mivle b'chad chad misamonim, you'll mix the meiriglaim with one or other the types of detergent. That isn't going to be acceptable, because says the Gemara, the halacha is v'tzarch lechask same sholosh pam b'chol ech v'achtanan. We have to use each one separately, and therefore the halacha is that isn't so. Just mixing it with others is not the way to go. And the Masham says a very interesting chiddush. We just said a moment ago that the halacha is al she'ei machnisim meiriglaim l'migdash. We don't bring the meiriglaim into beis hamigdash. Nei covered. It's disrespectful. So ask the Masham, so why is the Gemara suggesting that I should mix it with something, and that's actually going to be the Gemara's approach? If there's a concern that you're not allowed to bring meiriglaim into the beis hamigdash, nei covered, so how will this be helpful? Answer, says the Masham, the issue of bringing meiriglaim into the beis hamigdash only is if you're bringing it by itself. The issue that it's not respectful to bring meiriglaim into the beis hamigdash is not applicable once it's not just by itself. Says the Mara, what you do is, suggesting around the mivalei b'roik tafel, you mix it together with saliva of a person who woke up in the morning and has not yet eaten anything. And the halacha is that all these detergents have to be mixed into that saliva. Damarish, lach shroik tafel, this type of saliva, tzorch shiyeh m'kalech v'echad, each one of the detergents has to be combined with the roik tafel. And therefore, once we're combining it with the roik tafel, there is no concern anymore that we're mentioning that we're, the concern that we're mentioning that if it's that it's meiraglaim the base of mikdash, that concern doesn't exist because I'm mixing it together with the roik tuffel. Says the Gemara, echad shabishaba. When we speak about the kalim, and we're going to speak about what has to be done with the kalim, says the Mishnah, both a keli that the carbon was cooked in, vechad she'ira l'toichai reseich, or if it's a keli that we poured into it, something that was cooked in another pot, iri kli rishon, we're pouring from that pot, vechad kachi kachim, whether it's a kachi kachim, or kachi kalim, and all of them, the halacha that we've been discussing, there is a halacha ta marika v'shtifa. Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon disagrees. And Rav Shimon's opinion is that kachim kalim ain't ta marika v'shtifa. The halacha is that I don't require that they should have kachim kalim. And why, explains the current Oira, do we differentiate between kachim kachim and kachim kalim? Because kachim kachim could only be eaten in the Azara, but kachim kalim can be eaten anywhere, and that's why the halacha, according to Rav Shimon, differentiates between kachim kachim and kachim kalim. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. The pasuk speaks about the kalim in which carbon chatos was cooked. And the pasuk says, "V'klicher shetuvushabai yishavar." Only al shabishabai. We only know from here if a carbon chatas was cooked in it. However, iro l'toicha riseach. How do we know if there was an iri kli rishon menayin? How do we know that the halach is that it should be broken then as well? Tamaloymer asher tuvushabai yishavar. And the Torah is teaching us, even in a case where it was just asher yishavar, the word boy, as long as there are bleis in this keli, there's absorption from the karmel chatas and the keli, even though it wasn't cooked in there, the halacha is that it has to be broken. It's also important to point out that even though we just learned in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon does not require marika v'shtifa bekachim kalim, explain the Rishonim, that's only regarding this new dinner, marika v'shtifa. And he learns, as we explained, that marika v'shtifa only applies by kachim kachim, not by kachim kalim. But the issue that there's a blia of kachim kalim and a keli, and that blia became nicer, that doesn't make a difference if it's kachim kachim or kachim kalim. And regarding that halacha, the halacha will be, of course, kashering is required. Our Gemara is teaching us now the concept of iri kli rishon, and it's considered like being cooked. The Rashbam says that iri is, and it goes in all ways, l'chumra, that it's considered bishul, for example, on Shabbos, and it's also considered like a kli rishon as far as kashering. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could kasher a keli with iri kli rishon. The Rashbam does not treat iri kli rishon exactly like a kli rishon. He says that even though, as we're learning now, it has the ability to cause absorption in the keli, it should not be reckoned fully like being like a kli rishon. And therefore, the Rashbam, for example, says you can't do kashering with an iri kli rishon. Another interesting question that comes up when we have this discussion about iri kli rishon that the Paiskim discuss on Shabbos, if we're going to say that iri kli rishon is considered bishul, what happens if you have a glass and the glass, you wash the glass and there are droplets of water left in that glass, they're cold droplets of water, and now you want to pour hot water from something that's boiling from your urn or from wherever, that's a kli rishon. You should not be allowed to do so because the iri kli rishon is cooking that water. And even if you're not cooking the proper amount of water, that it should be considered a shear for shear, still we know that halacha is that chatzi shear is asur matayra. Even cooking the slightest amount is asur. And moreover, since we're talking about droplets of water that are cold, we say by liquid, bishlach abishal. And even if those droplets were once cooked, the halach is we need to be concerned that by pouring this hot water on it, you're cooking on them. And that's why there are some that are very machmer on this. There are those that are more lenient. I saw there are Voznitzar, Zatzal is lenient. He says because it's a psik ratio, the loinichle, and it's not considered a regular chatzi shir. He says when we speak about such an insignificant amount, that's not even in the category of chatzi shir. And that is the opinion that I saw of the Klaus Magareba as well as Zatzal in the Sefer Pnei Shabbos. And then there are others that suggest this whole concept that we're saying of Ein Bishlach HaBishl by Dov Alach is not something that is completely agreed on by everybody. And since it's not something that's completely agreed by everybody, taking all of these considerations into mind, that's why many Paiskim suggest that if there's some insignificant droplets of water maybe left in the glass that you washed, and now you're pouring in from a tea kettle boiling water that was on the Kli Rishon, it would not be considered a problem, and you may do so on Shabbos. If one wants to be machmer, of course, there's room to be machmer. Ask the Gemara. By Rami Bachama, Talab Aviatar Tana, if we took a spit with a carbon chattis on it and suspended it in the airspace of an oven, and therefore there nothing from the walls of the oven got touched to kamachatas mahu. Will we have to break that furnace or not? Do we say bishla biluhu the kabar rachmana? The Torah is makbid by klicheres to break it if you cook the carbon in it and it absorbed. But if not, it doesn't require. If there was no bleed, there's no need for breaking it. Idoma bishla biloy biluhu. If you cooked in the pot, that's enough in the furnace that's made of Kli Cheres. That's enough of a reason to have to break it. Amar Rav Toshma, the Brisa teach, the Mishnah taught us, Echad Shebishabav, Echad Sheir L'Toycher Yisayach. In both cases, the halacha is that you have to break the Kli Cheres. So what do we see? That even though there was only Eri Kli Rishon, the halacha is that still you have to go through this entire process. So says the Gemara indeed. The lu of loy bishel, if there was an absorption, even though there wasn't actual cooking, loy kamei boiler. Ki kamei boiler, our question is, the bishel b'loy b'liya, if there was cooking, but there was no absorption, mai. What would be the halacha? Says the maratosh ma'ad, amrav nachman, amrav avua, tanner shal megdish l'matzos chaya. The tanner that we used, the oven that they used, the fern in Beis HaMikdash was made out of metal. V'isach gedatach. If we're going to say, the Torah is not concerned to break the Kli Cheres. If there was no Belia, ask the Gemara, Nevet Shel Cheres, why don't we make in the base of Mikdash a Kli Cheres? And therefore, and we'll broil the meat on a spit, and there won't be any absorption. And the Torah is only Makbid was saying if there was absorption. The fact that that isn't done, is a proof that under all circumstances, the Kli Cheres would have to be broken. Answers the Gemara, that isn't the reason. You would be able to use the Kli Cheres. The reason it's not done is Kivin Dikish Shiyari Minchas, the Afiyos Betana. We know that after the Kemitz is taken off from the Karban Mincha, the rest of the ingredients are baked, and then the Kohanim can eat it. Vikal Bishul Belua, and when you break it in an oven, there is oil in the Karban Mincha, and it gets absorbed into the Tana, and that's why Avdin Shel Matchas, that it should be able to be kashered. Says the Barahu Tanura, there was this oven, that they used it, they smeared it with animal fat, kosher animal fat, and then they baked bread in it. And the bread absorbed taste from the meat fat. As Rabbi Achila l'mechila rifta, Rabbi Achila did not let them eat the bread. Lo'olam, even if they didn't bake the bread yet, the halacha is that you can't eat the bread. Afilu b'milcha, even if you're going to eat it with salt, not with dairy, because Chazal were concerned, dilma osla mechla b'kutcha, you may come to eat that bread that has the absorption of fleishiks, even though you had done this, the halacha is that we have to be concerned that that absorption doesn't come out, and therefore any bread baked in that oven will be fleishiks, and you're not allowed to have fleishiks blood. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, Ein leish nasisha b'chalav, you're not allowed to make dairy bread, v'mlosh kolapas kulu asura. Nehergal aveira, we're concerned you may come and eat that dairy bread with meat. Kiyotzba ein toshin satana ba'alyo, we're not allowed to shmir animal fat in the oven, v'mtosh kolapas kulu asura, because we're worried that you're going to come to eat that bread with dairy. Achiyasik b'satana. But here it says that if you kasher the oven, then it's taken care of. He said that even if you kasher it, it's still the bread will still be asur. Tiyufta, says the Gemara. Tiyufta, Rabbi Eloi. Tiyufta, indeed, the opinion of Rabbi Eloi is not correct. And if you have an oven that is used for fleishiks, but you kasher it, then you could bake bread in it. Amalei Ravina Rashi. V'chimi achad etos Rabbi Eloi. Now that we said that Rabbi Eloi has been refuted, Amai Omer Rav, why did Rav say that kederis, the pats that were used all year round for chametz, then Pesach Yishabera, there's nothing to do with them, since as we're learning, you can't kasher cheres, and now it has a blia of chametz as Pesach passes, and it's chametz shavah over Pesach, and they can't be kasher. Has the Gemara, why is that the case? Do kashering, as we said now, and we're learning now that you can kasher it. Amalei, Rab Mukalei, he, Bishal Matkas. He's saying that we're speaking about a metal oven, and by the halacha is that by metal, kashering is possible. By cheres, kashering isn't possible, because kashering won't get out the blia. We could say that Rabbi Bar Eloi was even talking about Tana Shel Cheres. Zeh Sik Bifnim. There's a difference where you put the coal. If you put the coals inside the pot, inside the oven, then even Cheres could be kashered. If you put the coals on the outside, then it can't be kashered. So ask the Gemara, V'nem Rasok Bifnim. So why on Pesach do we have to break the Cheres pots, put coals inside the pot, and like that, we'll be able to kasher it. Says the Gemara, because Chazal were concerned, Chayis lo demitbari. Chazal never allowed us to kasher kli cheres, even in a case where it's technically doable, because Chazal were concerned that somebody's not going to want to make them so hot and take the chance of them getting destroyed. And therefore, they won't do the kashering properly. And therefore, says the Gemara Helchach, Hai Kuvya, that if you have a keli that's made out of tiles, Hasekav of Nimhu, the only way to kasher it is by putting coals on top of it. And by putting coals on top of it, we're concerned the person's not going to put them on properly because he's concerned it's going to break. And therefore, for Osir, that's not a legitimate way of kashering. The Gemara is telling us that wherever there's a concern that we're going to not kasher properly because of our concern that we may destroy it, then we shouldn't kasher that way.